Frequent flyers, welcome back to another episode of Aviatrix Airwaves, our podcast for, drum roll, Dale, I need a drum roll, Aviatrix International. We have officially rebranded. Now, Dale, I don't even know if I have told you this. He doesn't have a microphone, but jumping straight in today, and that's exactly what we did with our rebrand. So, as you guys heard in the last episode, we had lots of events on for International Women's Day, which were all excellent. It was wonderful to go down to Brisbane, catch up with all the RFDS crew there and see Georgie Somerset, who has played a major role in a big tour I have coming up in April, which we'll touch in another episode. If you haven't already seen anything on the socials, we'll go through that all, don't worry. But yes, it was excellent to see her and see everyone there. It was a wonderful panel. Honestly, I think that was one of the best rooms I have been in networking wise. It was just absolutely wonderful. Then caught that dreaded early bird flight back to Townsville on the Thursday morning at 6 a.m. Was actually with Qantas, felt a bit bougie. I got my breakfast served to me, so that was quite nice. And then had the Townsville Business Women's Circle lunch here at the casino, which was, again, they do it every year, just so amazing. So that was excellent to go to. Went with Mama Bear. And then, yeah, that was our weekend. Friday morning we hosted, well, actually I shouldn't say we, I'm not taking any of the credit for this. Mum hosted a little morning tea at our hangar just to say a big thank you to all our staff and students who have really put in the work over the past 6 years that we've been Aviatrix Australia, now Aviatrix International, and really pushed for an inclusive environment in our hangar. So that was a wonderful morning. And yeah, I kind of sat in my office for a couple hours and I just knew there was something missing. I was like, there's something there that we need to grasp onto and we need to level up. You know, we've been helping others over the past 6 years level up and enter the aviation industry. It was time for us to level up. And honestly, there was no gatekeeping. It was a 48-hour decision that we decided to rebrand to Aviatrix International, called up our graphic designers who do all our logos, shout out to the Hunting House, and said, hey, you need to swap out the Australia for International because we're going global. Mr. Worldwide over here, that's us. So yeah, Monday afternoon we launched that and we have been Aviatrix International. Nothing too much with the brand that's going to change. I know nobody likes change, so don't worry. It'll still be the same brand you know and love, just with a new look and an even bigger community. So especially we have lots of Aussies, you know, working overseas these days. We have our friends over in New Zealand. I'm a dual citizen, so lots of family and friends over in Canada. And I just felt like if we were a brand that inspires inclusion in the industry and we were, I've just knocked my mic there, we were missing out, you know, half of our community, then that wasn't really aligned with our mission. So yeah, that's the tea behind our rebrand. There really isn't much tea to it. It was just 48-hour decision and then here we are, Aviatrix International. Anyway, so that is my week recap. Today in the studio we have my dad, Dick Arnold, who is the managing director and CEO of our four general aviation companies. You guys have heard them before: Townsville Helicopters, National Aviation Academy, Zephyr Australia, and of course our love, Aviatrix International. So we've got him in the studio today, as well as Tim Tanner, who is now our head of operations and chief pilot. So Dad, I think he mentions it in this episode a bit later on, but he's stepped down, I think in the past year. He stepped down, so Timbo is now the big boss. And yeah, we've got them both in the studio today talking about landing your first job in general aviation. It's a topic that comes up in like every interview that I do with any other companies. They always ask me about, you know, landing your first job, is there any jobs out there? And I know working in a flight school, it's a conversation that comes up a lot. So I wanted to be able to share their knowledge with you guys, and hopefully this can help you out a bit. This also backs up really well into an episode next week, so make sure you guys stick around for the next couple of weeks and also to hear the tea on the tour that's coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Aviatrix Airwaves. Please do not turn off your electrical equipment, which you are listening to this podcast on, and instead just sit back, relax, and enjoy as we are about to take off into this episode. Dad, Tim, thank you for coming in the studio today. This is a topic that we've been wanting to talk about for ages, but can never really find the right time, and turns out even today that it's been a very hectic day at Hangar 85. So really appreciate you guys popping down to the studio and helping me out.
Yeah, thanks for having us here. It's great.
Tim, it's your first time in the studio as well. I haven't been able to snatch up and bring you in here yet.
No, it's good to finally come in and be a part of it. So hopefully it all goes well.
Yeah, excited to have you guys here. So the topic we're talking about today, we usually try to keep the podcast quite broad and, you know, open for anyone. But it's a conversation that we've been having with a lot of our students and, again, on social media through Aviatrix International, which we've now rebranded to. And it's about landing your first job in general aviation. So let's start off by asking what your first job in aviation was and compare it to where you are now. Timbo, we'll start with you.
Yeah, good question. So I started my aviation career flying helicopters. A lot of people ask me, did you start off in planes first or did you go straight to helicopters? Straight into helicopters, and it's literally something I got into because I woke up one morning and I decided this is what I'm going to do for a job. Mm-hmm. I couldn't really find anything else that really interested me in life to do as a career. I wanted to go to uni, I wanted to study something, but I couldn't quite put my finger on exactly what it was that I wanted to do. So I decided aviation was for me. Aeroplane flying, not so much for me. Helicopters is where I was driven to. So I did my training. I approached Townsville Helicopters. It's about 10 years ago this year.
I was going to ask, how old were you when you started your training?
That's all right. I was 32 when I started.
Wonderful,
so,
yeah.
And I had a family, two kids and a wife, young family, and just needed, just wanted a career. Realised I had, you know, probably about 20 or 30 years left of a career, and I wanted to do something that I could really enjoy, something I could wake up every morning and go and really appreciate. So started my training with Townsville Helicopters. I was very, very fortunate, actually, because I wasn't one day without a job. So the day I finished my licence is the day I got a job, actually, with Townsville Helicopters, the organisation that I trained with. And I'm very appreciative for my first job that was offered to me by Dick. And I started out teaching theory and flying scenic flights, and it's something I really, really enjoyed. I didn't ever picture myself instructing or teaching theory. Didn't think it was something that I'd ever be good at or enjoy. But from the get-go, it's something that I really enjoyed, just being with people and teaching them stuff and taking them on that journey to help them get their license, something I really, really, until this day, 10 years later, I still enjoy it now. So that's how my career started. Started off with teaching theory, flying scenic flights,
mm-hmm.
and then started to get into a bit more technical charter operations, and then went from that into airwork operations and instructing as well. So. And do a vast array now of different operations, which I tend to enjoy all of them.
Yeah, so take us back. You said aeroplanes never interested you. Why were you drawn to helicopters then?
That's another long story, but I used to fly out to Palm Island a little bit with the last job that I had, and I was really keen to start off in aeroplanes, and I sat behind the pilot a few times and just watched what they did and how they operated, and it just... It interests me a bit, but not as much as helicopters. I started getting a bit more involved in helicopters, particularly with the rescue chopper. I wanted to be a crewman on the rescue chopper, and I tried out on three different occasions. I was unsuccessful. I was never fit enough, I think, to be a crewman on the rescue chopper. But I ended up following the dream to fly the helicopter. And now if someone offered me a job on the rescue side to be the rescue crewman, I would turn that down.
There you go. Are you just saying that because the boss is sitting right next to you?
No, not at all. I'd be happy to fly the aircraft, but I wouldn't be sitting in the back of it, that's for sure.
And tell us, so you've been with the business, what, 10 years now, did you say?
Yeah, it's been 10 years. Next year will be 10 years. Yeah.
Wow, very exciting. And tell us a bit about your day-to-day job now. So you've gone from starting in the theory classroom now to operations. What is your day-to-day job and role?
Yeah, so it changes day-to-day, and that's what I like about the... about aviation, it's very, very dynamic. We do a lot of different things, and my day consists of anything from I could do a flight that's a flight training flight. I could be in the office just managing some stuff. I could be doing some quoting. Mm-hmm. I could be getting extra work for the company. It's a range of variables. A lot of it's about dealing with people and dealing with the operation. So that's mainly what my job is now. It's just making sure our aircraft keep on flying and everybody's happy.
Yeah, especially days like today when they definitely are up there, but glad to have you here. And, yeah, nice to hear a bit about your journey. Dad, can you tell us a bit about your first career in aviation and a quick timeline of to where we are today?
Yeah, well, I mean, my first job was with a mustering organisation. So started back in 1989, I think it was. I was fairly familiar with helicopters because I'd done a lot of work as a passenger in an operation, probably 5 years of flying as a passenger. So I was fairly familiar with it. I'd been offered a job by the company that was flying me around. I just didn't have the brass at the time to go through with it. So first was mustering. I did that for 12 years. Mm-hmm. Then, cut a long story short, I guess we went to Canada for 7 years and then ended up in this business for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. So without doing the maths on that, it's been 34 years that I've been flying. And Tim forgot to mention he is the head of operations for the company, so I've stepped back. So there's a lot more in Tim's day than what he's giving you descriptions about.
Yeah, and so various roles in the pilot world. What's been your favourite one or most memorable part of your career?
Yeah, I've had a lot of really fond memories, and I can't single one out. I think, you know, I had some great days mustering. I had some bad days mustering. To single one out, I think I've said this before, is just teaching you guys.
Yeah, don't care.
So I suppose that's a pretty good memory. If you take that aside, a lot of wonderful scenery I've seen throughout Australia and Canada and a little bit in the northern of the states. So, yeah, I can't single one out. They're all great.
All different, very different aspects of
I wouldn't. I haven't regretted any flying role I've done.
When you first started off in your first aviation career, did you ever think that you'd be owning a flight school and teaching others how to jump into the industry?
No, not when I started. I mean, when you start, I don't think anyone really, when you first start a job or in aviation, I don't think you really have, at that point, a vision of where you want to end up. I think that develops after you've been in the industry for a while, and then, you know, you get aware of the different, because aviation is such, especially the helicopter world, is such a broad scope of work. You know, you can be slinging, you can be doing charter work, you can be doing rescue. So I don't think you fully grasp that. So did I think I'd be opening a flying school? No, not until, you know, I made that decision probably halfway, 3 years of our 7 years in Canada. I decided that I was going to come. I went back to Australia and got an instructor's rating, and then, so I guess that planted the seed that I was going to do something in that field. Mm-hmm. And then the time was right, and that's when we opened, I guess.
Wonderful. Mm. Now, for those listening who want to get into the aviation industry, this is a question I always get asked, and I wanted to put it back on you guys. Are there actually jobs available in the aviation industry? You know, we have lots of pilot. We see 15 to 20 students come in every 12 weeks. Where are they all going? Are there jobs actually available in this industry? Is it something people should join?
Yeah, well, I can start off. I'll hand over to Tim in a minute there, but there's a couple of categories here. Anyone with a rural background, if they've been out on the land mustering, nearly every one of those students get a job pretty well straight away. Mm-hmm. So there's a big pool there that takes those students. The other side of it, I suppose, is starter jobs for pilots is generally the tourism industry.
Yeah.
We're seeing a little bit now. So the tourism industry takes junior pilots because it's easier work. You know, it's just a joy flight around the city, and they build their hours up like that. And then when they get to a certain amount of hours that they think they need, they've got enough to move on, mm-hmm. then they do. So there's always a little bit of an opening for tourist pilots. What we've seen recently as well is students getting onto scholarships with these bigger companies, which hasn't really been seen before. Generally, you've got to do your hours to get into these bigger companies. But we've had a couple of students, Tim, haven't we, that...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's been a number of students that have come through that have been awarded a scholarship or some kind of training in larger companies with bigger aircraft, which is unusual. We've seen a really big movement in the last few years in companies employing pilots, low-hour pilots. Years ago, and then particularly when I started, that was only 10 years ago, there wasn't many jobs around, and you really had to fight to get a job. But now... I think there's a lot more jobs around for low-hour pilots, mm-hmm. and I think it's a little bit easier to get into the industry now, where people can certainly young pilots can put the feelers out and And sometimes it'd be a little bit picky about where they go and what they start, where they start in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's fairly healthy. I don't know if it's a very popular opinion, but there's a lot that would say it's doom and gloom out there. But the honest truth is that anyone that's looking to start up in the industry needs to go and do their homework, do their mm-hmm. research, ask as many pilots as they know or people they're prepared to reach out to get a start. Every single person that's in the industry now got to start somewhere.
Yep.
And that journey for everyone's really important, and it's really important for people if they're looking to start out to go and do that research themselves and mm-hmm. then find out where they'd like to go and make sure before they even start the course that they're 100% committed, because it's a long road. It's a mm-hmm. hard journey, it's a long road, but it's a worthwhile one.
Yeah, you were talking about talking to as many pilots as you can and all that stuff before you actually get into it, which links in with networking. Do you think networking is important? There's that saying that's been going around for ages, and I'm sure it's in more industries than just aviation, but we hear it quite a lot. And it's that saying, it's who you know, not what you know. Do you agree with this statement? Do you like it? Do you not? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's definitely true. There's no doubt about that. I mean, who you know, take an example of a guy work or a girl working on a station, and that company has a helicopter. Well, there's a classic case of who you know. Mm-hmm. They might single you out, or you might register your interest in a helicopter license. So, I mean, there's that side of it. It's pretty hard to network, I think, if you're a fresh pilot.
Yep.
If you've got a background amongst aviation, that's different. But if you're new to aviation, which a lot of students are, it's pretty hard to network. It's more down to doing your research and finding which companies you might want to work for.
Mm-hmm.
So my take on it is pretty hard to getting out there and doing driving around and seeing companies. I don't really call that networking.
No.
What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, certainly. I think I certainly think it's a little bit about who you know. But if you don't know people in the industry, I think it's important to, if you're putting yourself out there, and it's probably a question you're going to ask about, you know, the first job and how a junior pilot or someone that's just starting out puts himself out to the industry, it's really important to make sure they present really strongly to an employer. And quite often it's about the other skills that you bring into a company before you actually even approach that company. So we do the same. We employ junior pilots where we are, and we look at some of the other aspects or the attributes that pilot might have. We utilise some of those things in other parts of our business in order to help facilitate some of the flying. So it's certainly you got to rest on what you did prior to flying sometimes to get your first job.
Should your flight school assist you in becoming a beginner pilot? So when you finish your course, is it kind of just there you go off into the world, or can you lean on your flight school to continue to grow in the industry? You know, it's a course you start and then you do your flight test and then you're finished, but can you still ask them for assistance? Is it something that a flight school will do?
We'll certainly back you with, with comments. If people ring up, we'll put that job out in the flying school and let everyone know that that's available. We don't pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's our job, Tim, to be playing favouritism for one person over the other. It's all a level playing field where we are. So that's how we assist. And like I said, we get calls from, I think we've got a fairly good reputation as a school, so that's how we assist. Without actually, we can't really do the groundwork for you, so we don't go around ringing companies and say, we got a few pilots out here, have you got jobs? And I think that's your job.
Yeah,
certainly we've got, as an organisation, we have ties to different companies in the mustering and the charter sector. And I'm pretty proud to say, too, that we try to keep those relationships pretty strong in order that we can. You know, the whole idea with pilot training is to get our student pilots to a point where they're commercially active in a commercial environment. So yep. Getting these guys back into jobs is pretty key for us. So we'll help in any way we can to help facilitate that. And we're always keen to get more companies on board as well that are happy to partner with or take pilots straight out of a flight training school. So certainly we certainly help to assist with that.
Yeah, and I think beginner pilots have to remember that their instructors were beginner pilots once as well. So yeah. Definitely, you know, things like resumes or even just advice. Again, you're not going to call around for the student to find them a job. I mean, some places might, I'm not sure. But yeah, just remember that your instructors were where you are once upon a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And talking about resumes, basic things to include on it, you know, we kind of spoke about walking in versus emailing. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I think one of the, if I can start from a different angle, I think one of the biggest things is to explore the company that you're going to send that resume to. I see too many resumes come across the table and they're just generic.
Yep.
Someone don't even, it's to whom it may concern. I think you've got to do the research and...
Actually, yeah, I think we had someone walk in the other day and they went, oh, I didn't even know you had all these other businesses as well. It's like, well, yeah. They just walked in straight away. And I mean, I guess you got to find out somehow, but yeah.
I think it's a pretty cold feeling to walk in on a company, but I think that's what you got to do because it's your persona, it's your attitude, it's everything that it makes it personal, I guess, was what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I agree with Dick. You certainly have to research your company that you're going to go and visit. The other thing you need to do is be prepared if you do rock up that on that particular day, at that particular time, there could be any number of things happening within that organisation. They might be prepared right then and there to sit down and talk with you, so you've got to be prepared to go through an interview process. They might have a bit of space right then and there, and we've heard it from some of our students in the past where they've been looking for work. Right then and there, someone doesn't even want to talk to them. They just want to take them straight out and see how they fly and see how prepared they are to actually go fly that day. So preparation is the key. If you're going to either send a resume, you might get a phone call back straight away, or if you come in and see a company like us, there could be any range of things going on. And what that company's trying to derive from you, and it's the thing that we hear resounding from every company that that we deal with, is they're looking for that person that's got the right attitude with the right relationship with that company that they're going to fit in. And that's a big thing with the junior pilot, is that you're always concerned about how they're going to fit into that team and how they're going to fit into the operations that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And talking about talking about skills and attitude, what other skills would make a person more employable for the aviation industry?
Yeah, certainly there's a range of skills, like depending on that company and what they do, but anyone that's got a marketing background that does sales and that sort of stuff can be beneficial. Anyone with a degree in accounting background, anyone in customer service can use that if it's a charter company. Anyone, if you're going into a mustering scope, it's someone that's got cattle experience and knowledge that's worked on the ground for a little bit. If you're going into ag spraying or something like that, being able to work chemical and work that on the ground, you might have a bunch of different licenses for that, like dangerous goods trucks licenses, things like that. These are all things that a company can use to offset, not necessarily your flying, but that can use you in other areas.
Yeah, so don't just focus in on, you know, your piloting hours or your aviation experience. Look at what you've done previously that can add to your job.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's just being able to be diverse as an employee to offer these services to a company, and that's where the value is in you to start with.
Yeah, look, I agree with everything Tim says. I don't really have too much to add. I think you've got to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, things can go wrong in aircraft, and you've got to be able to tell the who or Tim or something that this has happened, because it mightn't mean much to you, but the next person that gets in that aircraft, it might be detrimental to their flight. So I think honesty is a very big characteristic that you've got to have.
Wonderful. Anything to add on landing your first job in general aviation before we wrap up on things we've said today?
Look, I think one of the things I see and we hear, we get feedback, pilots will come out of a flying school, then they won't fly for whatever time it is. You know, it might be a month or two before they get that, come and have an interview. And I mean, I've done it to one of my past employees. They came in and I said, well, let's go for a fly. And it's like, oh, really? So if you haven't flown for a couple of months and you're going to get an interview, do yourself a favour and go to a flying school wherever you are and go and do a couple of hours. Get yourself back up to scratch, because, I mean, if you haven't flown for whatever, even if you haven't flown for 4 weeks, it's all, you're a brand new pilot, it's all very green. So do yourself a favour, go and go to a school, do a couple of hours so that you're back up to that level that when you left the school.
Yeah.
Else you'll jump in a machine, you'll go for a fly, and they'll go, my goodness, what have we got here?
Is that something nerve-wracking as a flight school owner is knowing that your students are going out into the industry without, you know, they've taken that long break and then they're presenting themselves to other businesses and, you know, they say they're a graduate of Townsville Helicopters. Is that something that ever plays on your mind? I've never really thought of it that way.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we want to see our graduates succeed and show the skill that we've imparted to them. Mm-hmm. So we certainly take pride in trying to, you know, give a finished product. Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, someone that's going to be safe out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And we like to think that we do a fair bit of preparation for that first job and how you come across. We're doing some seminars now with a lot of our students about how to do applications, who to put the applications through to, and how to all the stuff that we're talking about now, as well as now the other aspect of it, as Dick was saying, is that very first flight that you do with a company, they call that a company check ride before you start with them, before they agree to employ you, they want to see how you fly. And that's a really make or break time for a potential employer and for the employee or the pilot to go through. So I've done them before and you can certainly be really impressed by what you're presented with, or you can really be disappointed with what you're presented with. Mm. And that's all about preparation. So the flight, as far as the flying goes, you've demonstrated a competency at the point where you got your license. And what Dick says is correct. If you can get a few more hours in with recency right before you go for that flight, that's great. But that preparation about knowing the airfields you're going to go and fly around, knowing the operations that company does, knowing as much as you can, knowledge is power. And so if you know more about what you're about to go and do, then the better off you'll be.
Yeah, again, going back to doing your research about the company you're presenting yourself to. Yes. Now, if you were to go back to your early aviation days, is there anything you would do differently? Finish up with that question. A tough one. Tim's sitting there, Tim's, he's like, I've got to be careful what I say.
Is there anything I'd do differently? Now, the journey I've had is something that I've really, really enjoyed. I've got to be honest, it is a long road to where I am now and to where I started. If somebody said, here's the level of work that you've got to do to get to where you are now, here's the rate of effort you've got to put in, this is what you've got to do. If I had looked at that at the beginning, I'm going to be honest with you, G, I might not have ever started the journey. And this is probably one of the things that is important to know. This road into a commercial license or going on to work in the industry, it is a hard road to go down, and it will take a bit of a toll on every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
But it needs the time and the dedication to make it happen. And that's the beauty of going through and doing your license and then getting your first job and then getting into, you know, whatever stream you get into. And then once you get really good at that stream, you might really get good at doing stuff like charter flying. But then there's another stream of external load operations. Then there's another stream of mustering, another stream of training. Then it goes on, and then you get into turbine aircraft and multi-engine stuff. And then all these different disciplines, they take time and effort to get into. So if you get someone in the industry or someone that you know that has all of these skills and all of those abilities, they've been around for a very, very long time, and they've delved pretty deep and worked pretty hard to where they've got to. It's pretty easy to look at some of these people and just go, oh, yeah, it's pretty easy where they've got to. But the road is long, the journey is hard, and the beauty is you don't really know what's ahead of you, so you just got to take every day as it comes along. And when you look back, you think, wow, you've come such a long way in a short period of time. That's one of the reasons I love teaching people how to fly, is because they have no idea when they get to their commercial license of what it's actually going to look like. So it's when you look back and you say, this is where I was and this is where I've come to. It's changed me as a person. It's changed the way I view my life. And I think it's a bit of a life-changing thing, because it's hard work. It's one of the very few things in life, and I know I'm going on a bit here.
No,
it's one of the very few things in life that you've got to work really, really hard to, and you don't get licenses out of a cornflakes box.
No.
You've got to earn it and work for it, and you've got to strive hard and dedicate yourself. And if you don't do that, you won't get a license. If you don't do that, you're not going to progress to another stream. So if you're a charter pilot, you can get comfortable in that realm, but you're not going to extend yourself into another discipline, you know, to do external load ops, firefighting ops, or whatever it is. All of those things take time and commitment.
Yeah. Beautiful words, Timbo. I really like that. Just taking every day as it comes, 1% better every day, not looking at the long-term, very big end goal, just taking it as it comes, seeing wherever your flight path takes you.
Yeah, exactly right. And we talk about the journey. because that's it. You've got to enjoy that journey the whole way along the way. It's no good constantly looking at the end goal and saying, that's where I want to end up, and I'm just going to just do whatever it takes to get there. It's a marathon, and so you've got to go through that journey every step of the way, and just every element, every day, you've got to enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah,
I think that's the key to it.
That is. I love those words. Dad, anything you would do differently in your early aviation days?
No, there's nothing I'd do different. That's a different question to if I had my way, would I have done this? If I had my way, I probably would have been at home a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
My journey through aviation has been, as you know, has been a lot of time away from home. So would I change anything? No, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't have done what I've done if I... I've done what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no need to change anything.
Yeah.
That's a simple answer, really. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing this piece of knowledge with us today. I'm sure the frequent flyers will definitely take it on board, and good luck to anyone out there who is trying to land their first job or even changing careers within aviation or starting whatever it is that they want to do. We have a whole crew behind us here at Townsville Helicopters, Aviatrix, National Aviation Academy, Zephyr, all the businesses that you guys hear about. So we've got a whole crew behind the scenes here who are wanting to help you guys out and support you. So please reach out if there's anything else you need to know. And this episode that you're listening to right now actually backs on very nicely to next week's episode. So don't go too far. And thank you guys for coming in the studio today.
Thanks, Georgie.
Yeah, thanks, Gio.